It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 11th of May 2013. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua. On Saturday, the 11th of May, Sharon Brown talked to Di Stoddart about bark remedies. She spoke with actors Keith Patterson and Forrest Denise, Katie Trinkle-Legg from Waiheke Community Art Gallery, and she talked with Pūtiki Houseboat occupants Ursula and Lance.
Right, and hello. So here we are on Waiheke Radio, Island Life, and oh look, surprise, Di is back, can't get rid of Di. No, so we've got, yes, is that good? Is that going off?
We're all on.
Yeah? Okay, great. So Island Life today, and just trying to get rid of the boys from the last show, but that will happen any time this week. And, and we just got a very nice caller calling up saying they switched the mics off from the last show, so I'm sure you were privy to lots of interesting chit-chat in the radio station.
There was no swearing.
Well, that's what it's all about. Oh, God, he's back.
A back flower remedies app, everybody. What a really good idea that is. Someone go out
it's
and do
really
it.
Really good idea.
Right, okay. Good. Anyway, thanks for that, Simon. Right, so yes, because Di is. So I'll just tell you quickly what the show is about today. We've got Di going to talk briefly about Bach remedies and a course that she's doing at Adult Education, and then Keith and Forrest are coming in. Keith has got an upcoming comedy show that he's trying to put together, and he's also involved in the Playwrights Festival, which is running last night. They had a great first night, and tonight Palm Beach Hall, and then again next week. Then I think someone, maybe Katie's coming in from the art gallery to talk about the art tours. And after that, Ursula, who lives on a houseboat, is going to talk about the changes planned in the unitary plan around houseboats. And then at about 11:15, we've got someone else. Who have we got? Oh, yes, Catherine Napo is talking about the marina meeting. There's an upcoming meeting to discuss issues around the marina. Lovely. And that's all I can think of now, but there might be more people drifting in. And yes, great. So we'll just get straight into it. Hi, Di. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. So you've been talking about New Zealand Music Month?
Yes, I have. I've done that bit.
Lovely. Great. And so that's at 10 today, is that right?
11 o'clock. Yeah, because it's now 10:15.
Right. Lovely. Good.
11 o'clock at the library for a 30-minute performance with Ella Rose, with a beautiful, beautiful voice, I understand. So
great.
Come along and hear what she's got to offer.
Lovely. So that's 11 o'clock at the library. Yep. And also, Di, you're quite an expert in Bach remedies. Is that right?
Yes, yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes, I've been doing them professionally for 14 years now, and I'm one of two trainers throughout New Zealand, and I do there's a distance learning program, and I mark that as well and mentor people. And in August, actually, I've got a level one, which is the introductory course, which is part of the Bach International Education Program throughout the world, and I'm running that down at the Eco Village in the middle of winter. It's like a retreat, so that'll be nice. But what's got me going again is that I think it was Joe Nuttall, who's one of the adult literacy tutors, said, "Hey, Di, how about doing a night class in the Bach Remedy?" So I have chosen to kind of focus, not just do a general thing, but to focus it on parents and children and teenagers. So it's a 6-week night class starting, I think it's the 30th of May or something, but anyway, it's in all the literature. I am prepared, apart from Tuesday from 7 till 9.
Right, so people will sort of suggest issues that they've got, or you might suggest issues that people have got, and then people put together some remedies.
Yeah, well, there'll be 3 weeks on the parenting side and 2 weeks on children and 1 week on teenagers. And amongst all that, they'll get some, you know, some philosophy as well, Dr. Bart's philosophy on parenting, and just obviously learn a little bit about the Bart Flower Remedy system. But what's driven me to focus on parents and children is the fact that a lot of my business is always with children and parents, basically. And so I thought, well, I should just probably focus on that. And having seen the results of the remedies working with in this area, it's just so life-changing and so easy. You know, if a child's having, you know, lacking confidence, say, at school, or, you know, I just, you know, there's a particular flower for that, which is larch, and you just give the larch and, you know, and a little bottle of water, and hey, presto, you know, the self-esteem is risen and off they go. So there's all sorts of things that I can work with, you know, separation anxiety, and there's just, you know, setting boundaries with your children from a parenting perspective. So it's just, there's a whole range. I mean, no matter what you need for a child, whether it's their emotional work or their physical well-being, maybe they're just getting over the measles, well, you can use remedies to bounce them back. A lot of children are tired and kind of irritable, and or they might be having sleeping issues, nightmares or night terrors. It's just endless. Whatever is going on or is a possibility, the remedies can support. And just by simply having a little mix, which reflects either you as a parent or the child, is kind of like in that bottle, and the vibration just right raises to be bringing in the stronger positive forces, and it just turns it round.
Mm. So basically, it's sort of dealing with people's emotions. What are Bach remedies?
They are essences which have been made from flowers and weeds and vines and trees and blossoms, and that every single human emotion is represented. So it doesn't matter whether you live here or America or England or Norway, you know, the remedies work on the emotional vibration. So Dr. Bach's theory and philosophy is that how we are mentally and physically stems from the emotional state. So that is where the cause of everything begins. And so if that's out of kilter, then the body starts to get more and more out of kilter. And by the time it manifests physically, you know, that's the message for us to go, oh, you know, something's not quite right. And some people are more attuned to themselves, and not, they don't have to wait for the physical realm to take off or to be obvious. And so Dr. Bach thought, you know, after being a doctor in London, in Harley Street for 20 years, he realised he needed to drop all that. He saw that medicines did do harm. He realised that he needed to work with the cause of people's illnesses, and so he left, just completely shut the door of his very highly esteemed clinic, and off he went searching for plants and a very natural medicine that did no harm. So he has a little philosophy that goes along with that, and he also wanted people to take responsibility for their well-being, their emotional well-being and their physical well-being, you know, like own. And he gave them a tool, the Bark Flower Remedies, is 38 remedies, includes Rescue Remedy as well. He gave a tool that enabled people to literally go, oh, you know, when you look through the list of flowers, you go, oh my goodness, there's me. You know, if you're feeling irritable, it's the little Impartian's flower. So it's very simple to use. And so I thought, oh, it's time I got back out there and did a bit more teaching and support the local community.
So it's quite interesting, that sort of emotional basis of illness, because I think often that's not, you know, even now when we go to the doctor, we go for physical things rather than emotional things. But we often say that if your emotions are in, you know, balance, then you often suffer less from physical problems. Yeah. But can I just ask you, though, is it addictive in any way? Because I just see myself, oh, my God, underconfident, give him a bit of this. Oh, now he's, you know, like slightly impatient, give him a bit of this. So he'd be constantly taking Bach remedies. Or does it not work like that?
No, because it's so subtle and it's working in a very deep way, you know, like I'm not always on remedies.
Well, no, it sounds like you could be addicted to them. I think it might be the brandy.
And of course you can't be addicted to them because there's nothing in that little bottle that I give out. It's a 30ml dropper bottle. And in a way it's just the message of those flowers that's in there, but very, very, very powerful. And you know, usually, I mean, life's not perfect and life's not easy, but I think we all know that when we're happy and in a good space, life goes along really beautifully. Things tick over, everyone's happy, you feel well, you've got energy, you're motivated. And then, of course, something, you know, life dishes at us a kind of tricky situation, or, you know, you might have had a period of time when you have been extra busy, and then you get, but, you know, your immune system drops, and so along comes, you know, you get the flu or whatever. And so you can take remedies to nip that in the bud and restore your health quite quickly. And of course, because children are small and they haven't had years of stuff that they've, you know, like the layer of the onion scenario, they work really quickly with children. So, you know, they can turn things around overnight sometimes, or even when one mum gave, you know, had remedies for her son who was a preschooler. And so she started to, excuse me, she gave them to him in the morning and he had his doses throughout the day. And then, and by the evening, it was completely different. And Dad came home from work and going, "Oh gosh, he's really in a good, you know, good space." I can't remember what the situation was, but it's that. I mean, you can, you know, in the first four drops, you can feel something happening. It's pretty amazing. Mm.
So, and but then people, what happens the next day?
It depends if it's acute or if it's chronic, you know, because people are often treating, if you're treating your personality, because that's what kind of drives everything else. Mm. So people come to me and they might have a, you know, they might have stuff from way back that they're dealing with. Or it could just be, I've been really busy lately and I'm absolutely exhausted and I need to take some olive, which is for the one of being drained emotionally and physically. Or I'm really exhausted and I feel like I'm really swimming against the tide, but I'm still plugging on because I've got a lot of stuff to do, and that's oak. So, you know, or I'm not sleeping and I'm thinking about my children who have just left the country and I'm really worried about them all the time and it's draining me, and I'm, you know, so that's another flower which stops me from, you know, worrying. I mean, I still have the love and the care.
But then how long, I guess what I'm confused about is how long do you keep taking these for? Because the children have gone overseas, so would you just take them for the 3 years that they spend overseas? You're plugging away?
Or, because what will happen
gradually
is that part, that kind of, it kind of gives you a soul strength and a soul balance, really. And so once I take them, and I might only take a couple, it just depends how bad that kind of, or how extreme that feeling is. And it'll actually kind of cure, in inverted commas, that feeling. And you've just got this kind of very cruisy, released feeling about the fact that you do care about them, but knowing deeply that they actually will be all right.
Right.
And then, but then, and that'll stay like that. So there's no kind of, I can't, you know, your question is how long do you have to stay on them for? Well, it just, you will know, because it's, you will know, and it might only be a needed, you only might need to take it for a couple of days, or if you're recuperating from a really bad, long, sort of, you know, 3 month cold, cough, flu kind of thing, you might need to take them for a bit longer. Mm-hmm. But usually what happens actually is that you're really conscious about taking them, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, shivers, oh, I forgot to take my flowers today. And that's because you actually don't need to.
Right.
So it's very, very subtle. It's not,
I think
so
what's interesting is it's that thing of, like, is it a medication? Is it not a medication? It kind of falls between the two in the sense that you're affecting change, but then it's quite subtle. But then if it's so subtle, why bother taking it at all?
Well, the aspect is that we're an energetic being. So you kind of, it's a little bit of a paradigm shift in thought and who we are. You know, for me, I believe that we're a spiritual being, so who live in a physical body, and that's where Dr. Bart comes from as well. So, but you don't have to buy into that if you don't want to. You know, like, people use it for stress. I mean, Rescue Remedy, far out. People all over the planet have Rescue Remedy in their bag, their car, their office desk, because it works. And it's not, they don't have to take a drug that actually isn't A, dealing with the cause, and B, has harm on the organs in the body. And Rescue Remedy just kind of, whew, you just, the relief just falls off your shoulders. And, you know, people know that.
Mm.
And they don't know how it works. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's a, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, but you have to buy into that whole thing that we, you know, we are an energetic being. And if we weren't, I mean, what's a thought? You can't grab a thought. And I say, you know, we're bones and meat. And if we didn't have energy to drive our muscles and our nerves, we'd just be lumps of meat and bones on the floor. So we are energetic beings. And that's where the remedies kind of work, is on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Oh, interesting. And so this course, will people have a go at making remedies?
Or yeah,
you
absolutely.
Spend a lot of time discussing? And they'll have the opportunity to take some remedies away with them on different things that suit their family needs.
That's right. So it's going to be driven by the needs of the class. And so but what will be the core issues that, say, the parents have about parenting, we'll work with the highest priority that the class has over those 3 weeks. And then we'll work with the children's, you know, the children's kind of challenges they have with their children. And then we'll pick out the highest priority of what the class is offering in that. And then the same with the teenagers. So it'll be quite interactive. And obviously they'll take, you know, flowers during that time. And then we'll have lots of feedback and discussion about how it's helped them. Yeah.
Great.
So it's always,
well, it sounds really,
it's always really inspiring. Yeah.
And then after that, if people were still really interested, they could maybe come on this study further.
Well, you know, it's on my website. So the, you know, the class that I'm teaching in August is the international program one. So that's on the website,
and people could sign up anybody, for that potentially.
You know, anybody comes to that and they just stay down at the Eco Village and have a nice retreat at the same time.
Lovely. So we're not exactly sure of the dates, but it's I think it's the end
for the
of
night
May,
class. It's in the adult literacy night class.
That's right. And it's in the Golf News. I think it's also in the Marketplace, the program.
The,
and you can also get it from Adult Education.
The Golf News wasn't there,
So, yes.
Cool.
So that's Di and Bach Remedies. Thanks very much, Di.
Kia ora. Thanks.
Kia ora.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Well, here we are with Keith and Forrest, who are organising the comedy show, but also Keith's been involved. Hi, guys.
Hello.
You've also been involved in the Playwrights Festival.
That's correct, yes.
Yes.
As a writer.
Yes. So how did that all go in the end? Because it was a slightly different process this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been great having so many people that have wanted to write, and I think Waiheke is such a creative place. We've got a lot of people who are wanting to write plays. Colin Bearden set up the Playwrights Festival last year, which is pretty successful, and we had a number of people, I think about 5 people writing plays. What we found this year was that we had a whole lot more. So Colin was faced with the decision of either having a competitive situation where people entered plays competitively and only a few were selected. Of course, you can't have 20 plays in one evening.
You could try,
but it would be a very long night.
I think that's stretching Waiheke a bit too far.
So in the end, we decided to do a collaborative process, which has been a really fascinating exercise. And Francis Edmund has been brilliant helping us with that. And we've had, it's quite a process because a lot of people have different ideas.
Not entirely non-competitive.
And, well, I suppose it's healthy to have some competition for ideas, because what it means is that you're forced to think about the ideas themselves and whether they would actually work on stage. And those discussions have been really fruitful. And what we see is when there's such a diverse range of ideas, a diverse range of people with different experiences coming together in one group, you get, hopefully, the best of all worlds combining in a play with quite a rich kind of base to it. So I'm really interested to see the plays. They're on. They started last night, and I'm really looking forward to seeing. I'm going to be at the final show, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I saw Sally Lumsden at the market, and she said they'd had a great first night at Onitangi. It was a full house, and it went really well.
Oh,
so
that's great.
So which play have you been involved in?
I've been involved in a play called Fish Pie, and I've been writing that with 3 others, Peter November, Colin, and Christine Bearden. And although the name kind of sounds a bit comic, it's actually quite a contemplative, deep play. I don't want to say too much, because the audience doesn't know what the play is about until a wee way through it, and I don't want to spoil the ending if you're going to go and watch it, but it's reflective on some big issues in the world, and how they affect everyday life for Waihekians.
Right. Oh, well, that sounds really interesting. And they've all the plays, I think the running theme was some sort of local sort of content or local perspective on things or not?
Well,
or
what we wanted to do was we wanted to have an evening of entertainment that was cohesive, but at the same time we didn't want to restrict writers too much by giving them too tight parameters. So we did say broadly that the ideas of the play needed to relate to Waiheke. But that was about the extent to which we put parameters on the writers. We don't want to have an evening where each play is so wildly different that it's not cohesive as an evening's entertainment. But yeah, so there was no particular policing of that. It was just starting. Sometimes you start with an idea and then it can go in a whole lot of different places. So we all started with this idea of a Waihekian kind of theme, and then it took us all in a number of different directions.
Lovely. So you can see that tonight at Palm Beach Hall, and I haven't got the exact venues for next week, but it's basically Artworks and Rocky Bay, I think.
Yep.
And there's also a matinee
Palm
at
Beach
Artworks.
Hall. I'm sure there's one at Palm Beach Hall.
Yeah, tonight.
Yes.
Tonight, yeah.
Awesome.
And you also had a play in the Fringe Festival, Auckland Fringe Festival.
That's correct, yes.
Yes, and that was a lovely play. And are you taking that somewhere else, or are you doing something else with that, or is that the life of that play?
Pressure.
That's sitting in our subconscious at the moment. We really enjoyed the experience, and it's definitely something we want to pursue. There's only so many hours in a day at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
At the moment, both of us are probably running off about, 26-27 hours in a day sort of working with here.
Indeed. Mm. I think that it's quite useful to have some time to let ideas like that rest in the back of your... I think I'm pleased that we put it on and there's good things that have come from it, but at the same time I think there's a lot more to go with writing it, and so I want to let it stew for a little bit and maybe return to it in a year or so. It's amazing having a fresh perspective what it can do to the writing process. So I'm looking forward to looking at it in a year or two's time and going, now I know what I can do with it.
Great. Okay. And of course, comedy, because you have a bit of a background in comedy.
Yeah.
So tell us about this comedy show.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. This is the Waiheke Comedy Show. It's coming up on the 22nd of June. And it's going to be a really fun evening. We're going to have theatre sports. Now, theatre sports we've had before, and that was a really successful night thanks to Lucinda Peterkin putting together a theatre sports group. She taught them theatre sports, and they had a great fun on the night, and I think the audience really enjoyed it.
I was there. I was the audience. I can truthfully say that it was absolutely blew me away. These people who'd been learning theatre sports for a few weeks of complete amateurs. People had never done it before, and they went on. Everybody in the audience was just trying to think of how to phrase this on radio. It was really funny. Like we were all just laughing our heads off.
It's so fun watching people who have no idea what they're going to say and just to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was quite interesting seeing the kids as well, because a lot of the kids that came had also been doing theatre sports for kids, so they had no inhibitions and they were yelling stuff out, a lot of which was like, well, that's maybe a bit too much, let's give the adults a bit of a turn.
And then the adults took it a little bit too far.
But it was really fun, and I'm hoping that's going to continue on the island for a long time. So I'm going to get some theatre sporters. We're going to start the show with theatre sports. We've got a few people writing skits, a few of the writers that have been involved in the Playwrights Festival, actually, and some others have already sent me quite a lot of good skits, so we're going to put those on. And then we're going to end the evening with some stand-up, local stand-up comedians that have already been successful in stand-up shows before on the island, as well as our special guest, Jeremy Elwood, who's confirmed coming from Auckland. He's a professional New Zealand and international comedian, been in all sorts of festivals all around the world, Edinburgh, Melbourne, Canada, Montreal, I mean. And, so I'm really looking forward to having him on the island.
Lovely. And are you going to do some, Keith?
I'll be hosting the whole thing, so you'll definitely see me. You'll be tired of me by the end of the show.
Keith is a great MC.
He
used to do stand-up comedy and all sorts of things, but he's sort of slipped back into a more organisational role. But it's nice to see him still
doing MCing.
I'll probably
try and slip some stand-up in there. Probably won't be able to help myself.
Great. So I've been going to a few of the comedy festival shows.
Great.
I went to Stand Up for Kids, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
Really entertaining. They had three different acts and a magician. It was just amazing, again, the things that the kids throw out and the reaction of the adults, and I guess also just the need to try and keep things clean but also be funny.
Absolutely.
But you could see that they were quite challenged because it was things that they weren't maybe used to having thrown at them.
Yes.
It was a
Stand Up for Kids is an art. I really have a huge amount of respect for comedians who can make young kids laugh because that's your honest audience, isn't it? You're not going to get polite, forced laughter from kids. If they don't like something, they'll let you know.
That's right. And this one girl was insisting that she knew how to look like a hoop. and did he want to see her do this? And
the things that kids come up with are genuinely spontaneous. There's no inhibition. There's no editing process at that point. And that's what I say to people learning theatre sports, actually, is almost to try and be like kids, because we're taught so much to think before we speak. But the fun thing about theatre sports is that you have to speak before you think, just like kids do. And that's why.
And they couldn't believe that someone was actually listening to them say really silly things instead of telling them to shut up and be quiet and not make so much noise.
Being in heaven for a kid, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, I felt quite sorry for the last act because the second act had rocked them all up.
Yeah.
And then the third guy was trying to get on with his story and they kept interrupting with random stuff.
Kid hecklers.
Yeah. No, it was quite interesting. So anyway.
Well, one of my most respected comedians is a guy called Simon McKinney, and he's done children's TV a long time. I respect him because he can make kids laugh and he writes scripts for kids and stuff like that. And I've got him lined up, hopefully, next for when we next do a show.
Great. Yeah. Oh, well, that sounds like an amazing night. So that's the 26th of June. Are you going to do something in that?
Yes, I think I might be doing some theatre sports.
Theatre sports
I'm
and...
extremely excited about.
And Forrest's going to be one of our skit actors, hopefully, as well.
Great. Oh, so there's quite a lot of stuff lined up, then.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. Just to clarify, it's 22nd of June, and... I'm hoping Simon McKinney's going to come for one of the future shows. But this show
would
on
be
the
great here on Waiheke.
On the 22nd, it's Jeremy Alvord who's going to be coming. Very, very well experienced and brilliant comedian.
Lovely. And, of course, the Comedy Festival is still on. And I'm going to the Secret Policeman's Ball tomorrow, which is actually an Amnesty International fundraiser.
Yeah.
So I think, I can't remember what the tickets are. I think they're between about 20 and 25, and that's in Auckland. But all the proceeds to Amnesty International, and I guess it'll be a lot of political satire, which
great.
I was thinking about the secret policeman.
Yeah. Great. Okay, well, thanks so much for coming in, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Playwrights Festival. I'm going to try and get along tonight.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Great. Okay. And here we are back with Katie from the Art Gallery. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
So Katie, you're on the Art Gallery Committee, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Great. So what have you got organised this Open Studio Weekend? I'm quite curious about that.
We have an Open Studio Weekend coming up on Queen's Birthday Weekend, which is June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's the fourth year that they've run it. And basically, it's 29 studios on the island, artists open from 10 to 4 throughout the weekend, and visitors can come and see what goes on behind the scenes in their studios.
Lovely, great. And so all those, everything will be open for the whole of the duration of that.
That's what makes it a special weekend. I mean, we have the art map that comes out that promotes Waiheke Studios, but this weekend we really commit and have everyone open the same period of time so you can leisurely go through for the whole weekend. Some of the studios don't open on Mondays, but most of them will be open for all 3 days. And you can go in and visit at your leisure all through the weekend. The tickets are $10, so it's a really affordable way to spend the weekend, and it's rain or shine.
Mm. Oh, look, it sounds lovely because it gives you an excuse to explore different parts of the island and see something different, as well as, you know, maybe having combining it with a walk or a coffee in different places.
Absolutely. The farthest studio is Kelly Diener. She's out in Orpew. So be sure to get out there and go to Man O' War, maybe get a glass of wine and go see her studio, because she's way out there, but it's worth the drive. She has an outdoor garden, and weather provided, it'll still be really nice, and you can see the outdoor sculpture in her garden.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Good. And so are there some new artists in the book this year, or in the art map that we haven't seen before?
Yeah, and this weekend there's 29 listings, and some of the new faces. Alex Stone will be opening his studio for the first time in a while. We haven't had him on the map. And there's a couple of new studios, Ann Skelly, and let's see who else is out in... Anton Ford will be with Emma Wright on Haraki Road. So some of these names might sound familiar to people who come into the gallery and see exhibitions. And we also have... a special, Jay Lloyd opens up that weekend also, and he's out on Tahi Road, and he doesn't keep his studio open throughout the year because it's a foundry and there's fire and it's really hot and he doesn't know when he's always working. And so it's a really special weekend for him to open because the public can see him pouring the bronze during the weekend, and that's kind of exciting. It's fire and great things like that, so it's really good.
Wow. Yeah. Kids could be into that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. And are there any kids-oriented kind of activities? Or
I would think we don't have any specific kid-oriented activities for the festival weekend, but it's really, hopefully, teenagers and young people that are interested in the arts might take the time to visit some of the studios and see what goes on. So that's why we've made it free for children and teenagers, because we'd like it to be a family event. And actually, I've had a couple teenagers visit my studio over the summer, and just seeing how an artist works and sharing my medium with them and explaining it to them opens up a lot of doors as far as how things go.
Mm. So it's sort of what kinds of things do you do? And are you one of the artists?
I am one of the artists. I'm a painter. So I've been painting for years and years and years. It's my living. It's what I do. And so when I moved to Waiheke about 3 years ago, I got very involved in the arts here because it was one of the reasons I stayed, because of how many artists are here. It's a fantastic community.
So is it easier to produce art in an environment where lots of people are producing art? Or
I think so. We have shared ideas. A lot of people, I've gotten to know a lot of the artists through this, and you start to share ideas, and the studios, visit each other's studios. We've all sort of, almost all of us have visited once or twice into people's studios. We try to have open days where people might have a coffee and come over and see what you're up to and see if you're up to something new and help promote. We share shows. Some of us go off island together and do exhibits together. So it's nice.
Yeah, well, that shares the responsibility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, lovely. Okay, so this is Queen's Birthday weekend.
Yep.
The 1st, 2nd, 3rd of June.
And it's sponsored by Fuller's. They're our friend.
Lovely. Great.
I have to mention that because they've been really generous with us. They help promote it in Auckland and get people over. And you can get the tickets anytime now, from now until then, at the Community Gallery. And there's an exhibition up in the small annex that has a sample of everybody's work that will be in the open studio. So you can go and visit the gallery.
Oh, so that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it'll
lovely.
Be up through that weekend.
Oh, okay. But that's already up?
It's already up.
Okay, so you can have a look at what things... And is there another way of buying the tickets aside from the gallery?
It's easiest to just go in or call, just to reserve and put your name down. And then when you get to Waiheke, if you're off in Auckland, just come and pick them up on that Saturday morning or that Friday.
Okay.
Because the ticket is really the map. So you'll know where you're going.
Okay, lovely. Great. Okay, well, thanks very much for that. Okay. So that's Queen's Birthday weekend. And was there something else that you wanted to talk about? No. I thought there was something else
there
you were going to mention.
Well, the world premiere of Christine, the artist Goldsmith film, is opening up that Friday, but it is sold out, I hear, Friday at the Waiheke Cinema. But there are tickets if they have, I think they may be putting on a couple extra showings.
Right, so keep a lookout for that.
Keep a lookout for that, and it's written on the information that you can get at the gallery and iSight.
Great. So. Thank you very much. Okay, so that was Katie from the Art Gallery Committee and talking about Queen's Birthday weekend. And there's something else.
It wraps up on that Sunday with a wine and cheese party at the gallery from 5 to 7, and that's included in your ticket. And the artists who are participating have all painted a box, and it's the out of the box, or created a box, and it's a silent auction format. So that's kind of another fun thing that happens on that Sunday.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Bit of wine and cheese for Sunday night. Lovely. Mm. Great. Okay. Well, thanks very much for that.
Waiheke Radio.
Okay. Well, here we are back again. And Ursula and Lance, who live in Putiki Bay on a houseboat, have come in to talk to us about what that's like and also how that might be challenged by the unitary plan. Hiya, how you doing?
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us today.
Oh, no, it's great. It's great. So tell us, you guys live on a houseboat. So how did that decision come to be made?
Well, we've always liked boating and we've always travelled around on a boat a lot. And we're always happiest when we're on the boat and we'd have barely anything with us and we'd go back to our house that had so much in it and we'd say, why do we need all this stuff? We don't need all this. And when we're really interested in sustainability and living with a low impact, and that was something we really, really wanted to do, and we kept talking about it and talking about how we cared about the environment. Hmm. But we were living in this house and not having that type of lifestyle, so we thought, well, let's give it a go. We really wanted to live just with low impact, with all solar, all wind generation, and, you know, living in a small space and not having an impact. So it was the perfect opportunity to try doing that.
Mm. Yeah. And what's the experience been like for you? How long have you been living there?
We've only been there 6 months, and mainly through the summer.
Right. I was just thinking that on the way over. What's it like living there in the winter, the start of winter?
I thought it would be hard, but it's actually, you know, it's actually been fine. And actually, I was talking to one of my work clients the other night. He rang me while there was a really high tide, and I was trying to get across on this little kind of raft to the houseboat, and I was talking to him on the phone, and it was raining. And I was going, yes, you know, we can work that out. Now, what price would you be looking
for? Oh, dear. Yeah. People just don't know what's happening at the other end of the phone, do they? Yeah, I sometimes find that with my children. Like, I'll be trying to do something really complicated, like, you know, get a peach stone out of their ear or something, you know. Phone call comes through. Anyway. Yeah. Great. So what are the challenges of living on a houseboat? Are there any?
Well, you obviously don't have the power that you have in a normal house. So, you know, you've got to run everything through an inverter. You know, our son can't have a PlayStation. That's terrible.
Oh, dear. How he suffers. But it's probably okay because most of his friends have one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's not that hard, to be honest. It's just a bit smaller. You just have to go quite small, really. Yeah.
Mm. Great. And so you're on this houseboat, and now there's news that the unitary plan will affect living on a houseboat. What are the provisions made in the unitary plan for that?
There is a small clause within the unitary plan which says that living on a house or living aboard any kind of boat will become non-complying under the unitary plan. So completely non-complying over all areas except for in a marina, because obviously there are people travelling around the world who sail around. They'll be able to stay in a marina, but no one else will be able to live aboard anywhere.
So it needs to be some sort of houseboat that can move around or...
No one. Doesn't matter if you're living on a yacht. It'll be non-complying activity. Yeah.
Right. So how does that affect you?
Well, they're houseboats, because they're not a boat, and because they can never be, say, oh, well, I only have this for, you know, recreation or whatever, those, you wouldn't be able to sell them, and they wouldn't be able to. Actually, mooring of a houseboat, just even having it on a mooring, it would be non-compliant. So they would have to be actually destroyed and scrapped.
Right, but lots of people own houseboats.
Not actually that many. There's that one of the things that makes them really special is they're really unique. They're something, you know, that's quite special and special to Waiheke. And there's only really a houseboat community on Waiheke, because there was an amazing man, Russell Condor, who still lives on Waiheke, who had the skills to build them, and most of them have been built by him, and they're really a part of Waiheke's history. And, you know, they go with people on Waiheke who were artists and people who love the sea and were thinking outside the square and were wanting to, you know, it brings together all these things. So it's a really special little part of Waiheke history. And some of the boats have been here for 40 years and people really love them. So it's really sad if they were to go, because we're basically getting this unitary plan, which is, you know, things that are outside the box, you know, could disappear. You know, and Waiheke's outside the box.
Mm. Yeah, it seems quite tragic. I mean, one of the things that people might be concerned about are things like sewage. Yeah. Is that a tricky thing to dispose of, or, you know, mucking up the water? What's the situation with houseboats and sort of waste and things like that?
Well, there's quite a lot of myths about houseboats that people think just because with other, you know, small communities where people don't know. But, you know, one of the myths is that people are pumping their waste into the environment. Most of the people on houseboats are real greenies, and they are the loveliest people. And one of the great things about this unitary plan is that we've got to meet all the people in Rocky Bay, and they are all people who, you know, don't want to pollute the marine environment, because we live in it and we look out every day and see the fish and we love it. That's why we're there, and we don't want to pollute it. We don't pump anything. Most people either have a chemical toilet on board, which they empty, and no one pumps into the environment. In other myths, you know, people think that people are there because, or that they don't work. Everyone that we've talked to works. They go out to jobs. You know, another myth is that we don't want to pay rates. We want to pay rates, but there's no system available for us to pay rates. You know, we'd like to, when we pay taxes, to contribute to society, but we'd like to pay rates and, you know, pay for libraries and footpaths and things like that. And Kiran, who lives on Tsunami, has actually been asking to pay rates for the last 15 years, but there's never been a way that we can do it.
Hmm, that's unusual. I mean, most of us who pay rates don't want to pay rates, so that's quite incredible. The houseboaties are lining up saying, please let us pay rates. We want to pay rates. Please, please.
I know. They should take the offer.
Yeah. Yes, so it's that thing of being willing to participate in society rather than being blamed for not participating in society.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So there's no provision then to reach some sort of compromise within the unitary plan?
Well, we had a meeting with council planners 2 days ago, and they were actually really lovely people. They came over, they talked to us. They said there's no guarantees, but they will listen to what we propose. And what we've done is we've looked at extensively at how houseboat communities around the world work, because there's houseboat communities in nearly every city, and obviously, you know, from London, where there are people living on the barges, in Paris, and we've looked at what they do, and what they have is they have a small area that's controlled, that's set aside for houseboats, and they have a residential mooring permit that pays their rates, and there's rules about noise, rubbish, what you can have on board that makes them really lovely. And most of these communities, like in Amsterdam, they're real tourist attractions. And
they absolutely are.
Yeah, and our Tsunami and Sunflower, we've got postcards that we're on the tourist buses come past. People love it, and people get out and talk to us, and they basically ask us what it's like to run away with the circus, because that's what they really want to do it themselves. And we always welcome that, you know, and talk to them, because they're always such lovely people that come to Waiheke to see this funky, unique, different place, and they kind of fall in love with the houseboats and come and talk to us. And the people in Rangi who are houseboats have the same experience. People come on the walking track and come down, and they're really curious, and, you know, they always invite the people and say, you know, have a look around. And, you know, it's a great example what they're doing over there of, you know, of sustainable living. And it's, you know, it's a great example, and it's a great thing for Waiheke, because, you know, Waiheke is what it says it is. You know, there are people walking the talk here, and, you know, people are coming and seeing it without having to ram it down anyone's throat, you know?
And so there was some talk at one point about Putiki Bay especially as being somehow, you know, some people feeling unsafe going to Putiki Bay, or that people were drinking in the bay and using the picnic tables and other people couldn't use it. Was that your experience?
Well, you know, if there's anyone that's most affected by it, it's us, because we live there. And you know, there have been things, and that is one of the things that we'd ask for, it to be controlled activity, because no one wants to be living with that kind of, and it really we totally want any presence that there are houseboats to be a really positive experience. And what can you give to the community? Can you give people a really cute little floating batch to look at that inspires them to dream about possibilities? You know, there should be absolutely no way that people are making other people feel unsafe to, you know, use the park. And that's why we want there to be some rules around having the boats there, and you know, that people should respect the public's right to go to a park and enjoy it.
I have to say, I mean, I take my kids there to play on the swings, and it's always been a really nice park. And in fact, it's one of the old style playgrounds with the little castle in it. So my kids love going down there, and it's always been a really nice environment. And everyone who's ever come out of a houseboat when I've been there has been really friendly. So, yeah, great. Okay, well, so that's something. We're going to have Chris Ragg also coming in to talk about the unitary plan and how that affects Waiheke and submissions you can make. But here's another thing, that if you're concerned about the rights of people to live on houseboats, or you know, have a houseboat yourself, or live on one, then you might need to make a submission or join this group. Is there some way that people can get hold of you if they wanted to find out more or join you or be part of this, going to talk to planners?
We have a blog called Waiheke Houseboats. It's easy to find, just Waiheke Houseboats blogspot. And we've got a comments section where you can just sort of read about who we are and get to know us a bit more, and leave comments. And and there's been on the Facebook page, the Waiheke People's Parliament, there's been some discussion, and we really appreciate all the positive support that of the people that love the houseboats and want to retain them as part of Waiheke history and culture. So,
well, I think for me it's about diversity, and you know, we're all poorer if we're a homogenous society where everyone lives in the same way and has exactly the same values, and we ought to have a community which supports all different visions of what it is to live well. Great, thank you so much for coming in, and yeah, well, we look forward to that all working out, and
thank
the houseboats, well, personally, that the houseboats stay, but yeah, great.
Thank you so much for having us.
Lovely, thank you very much. Great, so now we've got Catherine Napo coming in and Chris Ragg to talk about a meeting next week on the marina to raise awareness around issues around a possible marina at Matiatia, and the unitary plan and other things that you might be interested in around that. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.